The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Around Your Questions, episode 584. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
And Brian Mangioma.
All that hype for 17 seconds.
Uh-oh. Hold on, what did I miss? Oh. Oh, wait. Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yes.
The fight?
The fight. Oh, man. Yeah, so I saw a clip of it, you know, the first clip of it. It's like, yo, man, it seems like Ronda Rousey had to go somewhere quick. It's like, I got to get this shit done. I got to go home. That shit is funny, man. There was something else I was kind of related. Oh, yeah, completely off topic. So yesterday I went to Industry City and I saw about almost 5 hours worth of sumo matches. It was a lot of fun, you know. I will say there were some guys, you know, they would do this big grand entrance and shit, get you hype, and then get instantly pushed out. So it kind of reminds me of that Ronda Rousey shit, you know, with Gina Carano. Uh-oh. It's like all that hype, you come in here, put on a whole show, and then you just get shoved outside, you know.
Were these sumos from the motherland?
Maybe one or two, but they were mostly from divisions within New York, the New York Sumo Club. Oh. Another division was from North Carolina, and then another one was from Canada. Those were the main groups represented. And it's funny because obviously, you know, the higher the weight class, the more sumo-ish the dudes look, because like the first division, the light featherweights, they were just a bunch of jack dudes. You know, like, what are these sumo wrestlers, you know? And it's funny because, like, during the first one, there was one Japanese guy, right, who was whipping everybody's ass. He was all cut up, looking like Bruce Lee and shit. And then my man comes through for the rest of the matches as the referee.
Oh.
You know, so if you had showed up late, because this dude was in a full, you know, suit and tie and shit, or what, not suit and tie, but like, you know, button-down shirt and everything, you wouldn't have even guessed that there's a ripped dude under that shit and that he was a sumo wrestler, you know?
I didn't even know they had leagues in North America.
That's they have them. Yeah. I went there last year. We kind of caught it by accident. We were just at Industry City, like, oh shit, they have a sumo show. This year we purposely went. We, like, I know Jeffrey and his girl, they got there kind of early. They got seats, so when I rolled up, I was able to just go up next to them. I don't know. You can't see it too well, dude. I was in the sun for like 20 minutes, bro. I already got fucking burnt. It's insane. Uh-oh. You know, but thankfully the shade came through, so it was right. But then I got fucked over because then the sun started glinting off the windows off across from me. Then the sun started hitting me again, you know. But it was good times. But yeah, man, yeah, the we got to see the heavyweights. Those were some big boys, you know.
Yeah, those dudes are hitting the five guys after that.
Oh yeah, you already know. Oh man. All right, let's get into it, man. Questions. We got Bob Hits for starting us off here. And this is the last question I came in. This is like the very last question I came in tonight. So shout out. This is a little bit of a long one, but you know, we'll get through it. So if the rumors are true and we get a GTA 6 pre-order, and we get GTA 6 pre-orders this week, how will other publishers and developers market their upcoming games? Will they even bother wasting their money to do so? For example, a game like Gears of War E-Day hasn't had any follow-up in a few years, and the only thing happening is a 30-minute direct. If rumors are true that they have a September release window, that only gives them 2 months to market it. My thing is, will other big games like Wolverine and Call of Duty do the same and not even bother? Well, we don't know that E-Day isn't bothering, but it is interesting, right? Like, when pre-orders go live, whenever they go live for GTA 6, I do suspect other developers will start aligning their plans differently. Because even now, if you look at the release schedule, there's a big hole, you know, during the fall season. After September, we're like, things get a little nebulous. So I think they're already kind of, you know, parting the seas and shit to let Moses through. But yeah, I think once those pre-orders go live, rumors said it was going to happen last week. It didn't happen. Now they're saying this week. So it just seems like they're just pushing it forward. But if they happen, I suspect a lot of studios will start realigning their calendars. You know, what do you guys say?
Well, also, we're like a couple of weeks away from Summer Games Fest.
Yeah.
So a lot of the advertisement for these games will probably come after that as well, because they want, you know, a lot of them want to do reveals during that time frame. But yeah, I mean, like you mentioned, the whole GTA 6 stuff. Yeah, it's gonna be like you mentioned, the parting of the sea. Nothing is gonna be announced. There's no point to advertisement during that. There's no what do they call it? Like when they release one movie that's one genre and another movie from a completely different genre, but during the same time, counter programming. There's no such thing as counter programming for GTA 6.
No, nope.
It's GTA 6 and move the hell out of the way.
I mean, pretty much, you know. So it's interesting. I'm guessing, it's just me speculating now, that these developers probably really want those pre-orders to be announced sooner rather than later, or I should say before Summer Game Fest, so they could align their dates, you know, because they don't want to be going up to Summer Game Fest saying, hey, our game's coming out so-and-so, and then GTA, you know, fucking gets announced like, oh, shit, you know, even though we do know when GTA is dropping, though. So it's not like they don't have advance warning. But
I think more of what Mob Hits is alluding to is once the pre-order starts occurring, like, I think that's like full-on press on you know, GTA advertisement, you know, everywhere, like all that stuff. The ball's going to start rolling, the pre-order start.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. And no one's going to give a shit about other games then. Yeah, I guess. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see. You know, what do you say, Rich?
Well, first and foremost, let me say that's a rather fascinating question. In regards to Grand Theft Auto 6, the rumor I heard is that that trailer is dropping tomorrow. It's either tomorrow or sometime this week. And the 21st, that is when Take-Two is having their fiscal call for the year. So I'm going to assume that I would not be surprised if there is a story this week, the pre-order starred, and then it's a massive pre-orders. They're going to be talking about that in that call. So we'll have to wait and see how that pans out. But to go back to the question that was asked, like Carlos said, a lot of games are going to get release dates and pre-orders around Summer Game Fest. I do believe that when they confirm E-Day, during that presentation they're having, they'll probably have pre-orders open up right after that presentation. As for Wolverine, I'm sure that they will have a state of play for that game, and the pre-orders will come out just like any other time. But I am curious to see how the pre-orders are going to be affected in regards to other games, because I heard that there are going to be multiple versions of GTA 6 that will be available for pre-order. So yeah, I do want to see how that may impact any other games that are coming out also later this year.
Yeah. Brian, what are your thoughts, bro?
Yeah, I'm with Rich here. Like, I think we have to wait and see, because, yeah, I think most would have to give GTA a big space. So, and again, with Summer Games Fest, I think we'll actually know how many announcements we'll get around the GTA space and how many are brave enough to stand next to GTA or even in the blast radius of GTA.
Yeah, I like that analogy, blast radius. That's exactly what it's going to be. All right, man. What's up, Manny? Any thoughts on it?
No, I was just laughing.
Yeah, it's a funny one. Yeah, the blast radius. Mm-hmm. That's good. All right. Moving on here. Mr. Lego Bro with a couple questions. This one is also about GTA 6. Rumors say that GTA 6's budget is between $1 to $1.5 billion. I heard it was $2 billion myself. If you could make a game with that kind of budget, what kind of game would it be? It's an interesting question. I've always said, go ahead, Carlos.
Here's the thing. It's a difficult question to answer because you don't know what your reputation is as a developer or publisher.
That's true.
For GTA 6, you know you have the leeway to make a billion-dollar game because The Predecessor is the greatest, the best-selling game of all time. So if we have those standards, then you know, then I think, you know, you can release whatever type of game you want. But if you don't, then you sure as hell better make a game that's going to generate a ton of revenue. That's the, those are the scenarios where I'm like, maybe you should try games as a service. You know?
Yeah, right. Shit.
$1 billion is not going to, you know, you're not going to make $1 billion just by selling games, you know, selling a good game. It's got to be something different. But yeah, I mean, if I had the power to make whatever type of game, I would probably make, you know, an Elden Ring type game, just even bigger. Fuck it.
Okay. I, you know, somebody else can answer this. I got to look this up because I heard this insane thing where apparently GTA 6 to be successful needs to sell 20 million copies on day one, which would be
doable
for that game probably. But I'm like, you've never heard of any single game ever doing anything like that, you know? Somebody else, go ahead, somebody else jump in so I can look this up.
Real quick, Tony, right before you even do that, I want to interject. You know, you said some people are saying about that, you know, that it needs to sell 20 million. Some other people are saying that this game needs to do well or the video game industry might crash. Where have we heard that one before?
Yeah, we've heard it very bad. Don't get me started on that. I looked into it. I was right and wrong. Analysts are saying it needs to sell between 20 to 25 million in the first 24 hours. Fucking insane. To be considered a successful launch. That's to be considered a successful launch, bro. Man.
Because I think the expectations is you have to surpass whatever you spent or the budget was on this game, including, I was going to say propaganda, marketing.
I mean, Rockstar calls that shit propaganda itself. So that's okay. You know, their news launches, they call it propaganda. So there you go.
There you go. So, yeah. So I think, you know, in order for them to, quote unquote, be successful, they have to surpass their budget day one.
Yeah. So here's what the targets say. Launch day target needs to be around 25 million copies. First year needs to sell around 40 million copies, potentially bringing in 3.2 billion, which I guess would be double what it costs to make. Revenue milestone projected to make 1 billion in the first day. That is insane. Wow.
Also, I don't think that's even taking into account microtransactions. So
no, it's not. Because the game's
maybe it's just like,
yeah, it's probably not going to have online day one. Let's just be honest.
A bit of what?
Bruh.
Do you want to know what's even slightly more insane?
Sure.
Is that 25 million? It sounds weird just saying it. It means that they only need to sell or do twice as better as they did last time. As GTA 5 sold 11 million day one.
Fuck.
So basically, they just need to sell twice as many as they did the first time round or the last time round.
Wow. I didn't realize GTA 5 sold that many at launch?
Yeah.
Wow. Ah, shit. Yeah. Good.
I'm trying to wrap my head around this number. It took them 3 days to make $1 billion.
Fuck.
And that was like 10 years ago.
Yes.
Sorry, more than 10 years ago at this point.
More than 10 years ago, 13 years
Almost
ago.
13.
That, yeah, bro, based on those numbers, I think these predictions are fucking conservative. You know, with the hype this shit's generating, man. I know we're not answering the question, but, you know, it's wild.
Yeah,
go ahead.
This game and this game is going to make that money. It's not even going to be close to how
that
much
money
surpassed it. They're going to surpass the money because they got a lot of launch windows. Remember, it's the launch window, day one. Everyone's excited. And now you just brought up another thing. There's going to be the online launch window. Where it's like, now online is online. So y'all can play online and people are going to get hyped. It's an artificial boost. And then it's the PS6 version of GTA 6 is coming out.
PC.
You know, we're going to – and then the PC. So, you know, you got a lot of windows.
Yeah, you do. But again, this is just specifically for the launch. It's going to be insane, bro. It's going to be absolutely insane. To answer the question, I don't know. I don't have a game that has already sold $1 billion in one day. So I don't know what the hell I would do with it with two. You know what I'm saying? So because that's the only reason it even generated that kind of money. So I know this hypothetical. I know they're supposed to go with the spirit of it, but I don't fucking know. With that kind of money, who knows, man? You know, I would be like, yo, with that kind of money, I'm going to fund a bunch of games, not just one, you know, and make them last for like years and shit. That's what I would do, you know. Forget one game. Sonic I'm making Mania a bunch. Too? Sonic, let's go. I'm funding a bunch of games.
I'm buying Blue Point.
Right? All right. Anybody else? What would you do with that kind of money?
Make two games.
So that's the expensive games.
No, I mean, like two. Yeah, make more than one game. Maybe three. Just because it's like that. That's an exorbitant, insane amount of money.
Yeah, right? That's my answer too. I'm making a bunch of games.
Yeah, make more than one game out of that. You could literally fund a few different games with that amount.
Yeah,
not really answering the question, but I feel as like. That's a most games don't cost that.
No, they don't. That's why it's hard to answer this question, because this is an extreme outlier, you know, the extremist of extreme outliers. Anybody else want to give it a shot?
It's a very tough question to answer because it's so much playroom that you just can't say anything, to be fair. But
Astros? I do.
You do what you do with betting and spread your bet. So don't just bet all in one game. Again, as everyone has said, make 3-4 games. Do different genres, different ideas. Maybe one's live service, maybe one's open world, one's a cinematic game. Spread your bets. At least that way you're most likely to get money back in some way, shape, and form.
Yep.
You make 5 Metroidvania games because those cost like $10. And also, I got the answer for Rich as well. Uh-oh. I talked to Rich earlier about this question. We had a deep conversation. He said, with that money, you'll bring back the Concordian timeline. It's back. Well, and that includes Redfall.
Oh, no. Well, let me respond and give the real answer after what Carlos said. First and foremost, part one of my answer, I would not give any of that money to Sony. To be responsible with deciding how the game is funded, because clearly they don't know what they're doing with some of these games that they have released. But my answer is I would reach out to Shift Up and I would have them work on maybe some more Stellar Blade games, maybe do some collaboration for another Nier Automata game, since I know obviously they were heavily inspired by that game. Yeah, because I think giving that money to a studio that pretty much has had some success, giving them a chance to see what they can do, I'm pretty sure they can take it a lot farther than if it's a AAA studio that has that kind of money to work with.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right, moving on here. Another one from Mr. Lego Bro. This one's interesting. How do you guys feel about young gamers? Will they lead the game industry or lead it to ruin? I wonder what sparked this question, because, you know, and maybe this shows how out of it I am. I'm like, do young people even play video games anymore? Seems to me they're more interested in watching them.
Well, I mean, the thing about it is there's still you know, the Fortnite players.
Yeah.
Realize that they're growing up with a different type of game than we are. So what are the type of games that they would?
It'll be it will be, yeah, for sure. Because it just seems like they're all just playing Fortnite and Roblox. I honestly don't know how to answer this question. I don't have enough, you know, interactions with, you know, like, again, the kids I know, my sister's kids, they mostly play Fortnite or Roblox or watch streams. They're not like us, you know, where we're like actively in the game, you know, community and everything. I legit don't know how to answer his question.
It sort of all depends on who decides to, you know, to grab the brass ring, right? You know,
yeah.
Who is the ones that are going to get on the top? Obviously, is it going to be a generation of spectators? People that just just watch things and don't have any sort of drive to do something new and innovative? I don't think so. I think creativity, you know, universal. Well, I think people get inspired, and, you know, maybe somebody who played an older game is like, hey, why don't they make these things? And we sort of see this happening with movies. Remember that there was a study that got recent where they say a lot more people, you know, younger people are buying Blu-rays.
Yeah.
you know, or buying tapes and stuff like that, or buying albums. I think, especially with a generation of, I'm sure there are definitely going to be people that are getting in. But you know what? I don't want to see this. I want to see East Tyburn.
It was a lot easier to see the pulse of the gamer back in the day because gamers were always young.
Yeah.
Remember back in the day, back in our day, if you were old, if you were, you know, quote unquote old, you didn't play video games. That was frowned upon. You know, people looked down on you if you did that, you know, back in the 90s, 2000s, probably anything before 2010, the 2010s. So these days you have a lot of gamers that are in their 40s, 50s, 60s. So, you know, gauging where the gamers are, it's kind of difficult. Like I see Resident Evil Requiem sold like 7 million copies. And I'm like, are young people playing that game?
Probably not.
Is it just a whole bunch of old dudes? I honestly have no clue. So it's hard to understand where they're going. Maybe, you know, maybe all the young guys are playing Fortnite, you know, Call of Duty, Valorant, and all those games. Maybe they are playing some of the Resident Evil, you know, Monster Hunter stuff too. But I just don't know. It's hard to see where the inspiration lies with the younger generation because they are completely different from how we grew up. They're completely different.
It's absolutely different. So that's why it's so difficult. So I don't know if any of you other guys have any insight on this.
I will make one comment. I do agree it is completely different, and I think in the next 10 to 20 years that generation will also be different, and I will be curious to know if the kids that like Fortnite now will still like this when they are in their late 20s, 30s, 40s, etc. Because that'd be kind of interesting to find out. But I guess we'll have to wait and see.
But here's the thing, when I think about that, obviously things will be different, you know, 20 years from now. Yeah. But will it be as different as it is from us to today's generation? Because for us, it was the arcades. It was arcades. It was even LAN parties. You know, these kids are growing up with online. You're 5 years old. They're playing Fortnite, doing the stupid little dances, buying all the skins of all their favorite, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo's and Marvel characters. I feel like that is not going to change. Maybe I'm too narrow-minded, but, you know, comparing that to us is like, geez, it's a drastic shift. So I wonder if, you know, 20 years from now, there can be another one of that equivalency.
Yeah, I don't know. That's why it's difficult to answer this. It's hard to tell. All right. Brian, unless you don't want to say anything before we go to the next question.
I got nothing.
Yeah,
it's hard. I have no idea.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. Matt Wheaton. By the way, Matt Wheaton, you asked us about Mortal Kombat 2, the movie, but I think we answered that question already. Rich, you talked about it last week, right? If I remember correctly.
That is correct, and I will recommend that Matt Wheaton goes back and watches that episode because I know you guys definitely don't want to say anything about Mortal Kombat 2.
I didn't see it, so I got nothing, you know. But yeah, go check out last week's show because Rich did give a breakdown of the movie. All right, so his other question, this one's funny. Which game do you guys think will be the biggest contender for shitty ass game of the year? The nominees are Highguard, 1348X Voto, Sorrows, Reloaded, or Mixtape. I don't even know one of these fucking games. Go ahead, Rich.
Well, I would like to be the first to answer this question because I know all of these games, and it's a very simple answer. It is the highly guarded answer because that game doesn't exist anymore. That game doesn't exist anymore. All these other games are still out. You can play them now. You cannot play Highguard now. So that is the winner.
I mean, I can't argue with that. It doesn't exist. I think Concord won because of that, too. It's like, which game was worse? I'm like, Concord, because it's no longer available, you know? Although my original answer was going to be, which one of these games should win? My answer was going to be yes.
Highguard,
man, you took
just,
it
just for the mere fact that Highguard had all of that hype from the Keeley Awards. It's like,
yeah,
it was a perfect storm of shit. So it's hard to beat that.
Yeah, no, I think that's the winner right there. Winner for the worst because the game, all that hype and it doesn't exist anymore. So, and the, you know, the studio's not looking in good shape. So they haven't been shut down yet, I don't believe, but who knows, right? All right. Moving on here. One subset. I don't want to hear any other. Basically, he went down on for a while, but he basically says he doesn't want to hear about any more Capcom remakes that aren't Dino Crisis. And he wants to know if he's the only one that feels that way.
Brian just said amen.
Brian, what do you say?
No, he is the only one in the world that feels like that.
Yeah. I mean, like, I get it. People want Dino Crisis back. But, you know, Capcom seems to be of the mind. It's like, eh, people don't really want this. But they want that weird other dinosaur game instead. You know, Brian's favorite game. Primordial, whatever the fuck.
Exo Primal. That was it.
Yeah.
I think at some point they have to think about it. Because they'll run out of stuff to remaster. So,
yeah.
By the law of large numbers, they'll have to come around and think of it.
That's true. So, yeah, we'll see. Maybe Summer Game Fest, right? Because then they put out some, like, poll. Actually, no, they did put out a poll or whatever of, like, franchises that they're actively working on or people want, hey, Brett. And Dino Crisis was not there.
Oh, was it?
No, it wasn't. I didn't see it. I could look into it, but I didn't see Dino Crisis there, which is hilarious. Uh-oh. It's like Capcom has something against this game. Oh, man.
Yeah, like, we made that game, or it's called Exo Primal.
Yeah, Exo Primal. You got it already. Shut up. All right. Another question here from Mr. One Subset. Why didn't Phil Spencer and Sarah Bond make any of the changes before leaving? That's the million-dollar question, right? Because it's so fascinating. Asha Sharma comes in and within the space of 2 months makes all these changes that Phil and company could have easily made themselves, right? They could have knocked down the price of Game Pass. They could have said, we're going back to the original branding. No more of this, you know, Xboxes and everything or whatever. All these little things that, again, they are little wins, but they could have done it. And I question why they didn't. Why did it take an outsider to come in and do that? Or was it that, or was that the point that it took an outsider to be like, hey, what the fuck is going on here? You know, to fix this shit. You know, that may be it. They were just too full up, you know, their heads were just up their asses too far and they couldn't see the forest for the trees, you know? Very interesting. And I'll say this, if all this shit that Asher's currently doing really helps out within a year from now, Phil Spencer's going to look real bad. It was like, bro, you've been there for 10 fucking years, no, more than 10 years, and you weren't able to do what this woman did in one? Again, you know, we don't know. She could drown the whole fucking ship for all we know. But I'm saying if it happens, it's going to look real bad on Phil, bro. You know? So what do you guys say? Why didn't Phil and Sarah Bond make any of these changes that Asha just did?
Because the rest of Microsoft wasn't crumbling as a company, forcing them to actually focus on diversifying and trying.
That is a good point. You know, Microsoft's not in a good place right now.
Dude, but Windows is a dumpster fire. Like their main, like their cloud game, like most of their business sectors are either high risk or not doing well. So I think maybe before they were like, Xbox is the redhead stepchild of the room, and they're like, shit, maybe we ought to start paying attention to our gaming brand just in case our office continues to burn.
Yeah. What do you say, Carlos?
Yeah, Brett brings up a lot of really good points. I feel like desperation is part of the equation when it comes to making all these changes. Also, like I mentioned in when Asha Sharma first got announced, I said, like, I made the analogy where, you know, when a rich sports owner buys a team for the first time, they make all these changes, sweeping changes, and they spend a lot of money and stuff because they just want to make sure that they put their stamp into the team. And I feel like, you know, for Sharma, it was kind of similar where it's like, oh, well, I'm making all these sweeping changes that I for sure know that the fan base is going to like, because not only did she, you know, ask the fans on online, but she hears you. She can make those changes. Those are like the bare minimum easy changes she make, you know, like the whole thing with the Xbox branding, the logo. I don't know about the price. The price is the interesting one, but I guess, you know, I don't know if that's something that's been in the works because it had, I mean, I don't know if it's something that they could do right away because they needed that Call of Duty stuff So my guess for that, it's more of, you know, Activision was like, yo, man, we're not making enough money from Call of Duty on Xbox. It's like, might as well just, you know, take this thing down and lower the price of Game Pass. But I do agree with Tony. It's like, it does look bad on Phil because these changes didn't really take much to make, and they're easy wins for Xbox. So the fact that Phil or Sarah didn't address them does not look great on them. But it, like Brett also mentioned, it could just be desperation because the overall umbrella company just doesn't, you know, is desperate to make as much changes as it can, which they obviously did with CEO of Xbox. So yeah, it could be a lot of those things.
Yeah. Rich, what do you say, man?
Sorry about that. Yes. I agree with what both Carlos and Brett said. I will add that I also think that, again, I go back to when Microsoft did this whole Activision acquisition and the fact that they had to go to court because of this lawsuit stuff. I'm pretty sure that that definitely impacted Phil's relationship with the head. Because yeah, I'm pretty sure he didn't want it to have to go to that length just for them to try to acquire Activision. So I don't know. I think, like I said, both Brett and Carlos, they said it better than I could say, but, we still have to wait and see, you know, the verdict is still out on where things are going for Xbox. I mean, I noticed that, they have the new Xbox logo now. I know a lot of you guys are excited for that logo. So, Let's just see where things go from here.
There you go. Logo of the year. All right, man. Last two questions for Mr. Illustrated Dio. And Dio, as always, man, I don't know why you asked us some pop culture stuff. You know we're going to answer that stuff. So those were not included here. Okay, this one's more of a hypothetical. Actually, very much a hypothetical. If Bungie is ever fully absorbed and run by PlayStation USA, who would be your preferred replacement team to control Bungie after its reorganization? I'd like to see Guerrilla Games or the Helldivers team take over. I'll be honest. Oh, go ahead, Manny.
No, go ahead.
Again, I'll be honest. I don't care enough about Bungie. You know, it's like, I don't know. Give it to fucking, I don't know. I don't care. I don't care.
To be honest, like, why would they even hand it over to the Horizon team?
No, that's what he wants.
I mean, that doesn't even make any sense to me.
Because he likes Killzone. That's why.
I mean, sorry to poo-poo on your answer, but it doesn't even make any sense to put Horizon in charge. Like, nobody would actually be in charge of them. It would probably just be a change in management, right? So.
Yeah,
which they've already had a drastic change in management. I think a lot of Bungie is just going to be a husk of itself. They're going to just they're just going to kick out as many of those people as possible, and then sort of start from scratch. And you know, even you know, and the doom and gloom part of this would be they just liquidate Bungie itself, and just, you know, don't even have them with their messed up policy, right? And just turned it into PlayStation wherever location that they're in. Where is Bungie located? Washington? Yeah, just call it PlayStation. Yeah. Just rename the whole, just revamp the whole studio. Just call it PlayStation Washington. Washington Studio, right? Kind of like Santa Monica and Japan Studio. Mm-hmm. And just rework the whole damn thing. If it comes to, I don't think they're just hand it to a game studio that's on the other side of the world to manage. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Or they should, you know, create a new studio with a whole bunch of their old developers, and they call them 434, you know, Innocent Spark. that's worked before.
That's reform funny. Again. That's 343.
By the way, the original version of this question, I just took the last half. The first half was even more wacky. You know, what if Sony turned Bungie into a full-on Japanese studio? That would never happen in a million years.
That would never happen at all.
Yeah, that would never happen at all.
That's even wackier. Like, it doesn't go, unfortunately, it doesn't go in that direction. You don't all of a sudden just turn on a Western studio and a Japanese studio. The only way that would happen is if they closed down Bungie and just made a whole new studio in Japan called Bungie and then renamed it that. That's the only way it's going to happen. You're not transferring any employees or any of that sort of, none of that's going to, but again, like we've said this before though, with that whatever this is, whatever you think is Bungie right now, that's not Bungie. None of that is Bungie. Look at all the names that are on that, at that studio. Nobody there, maybe a couple of names are not the, but they're not the original. Bungie's dead.
Yeah. I mean, it's a Theseus ship situation right now. You remove so many of the original parts, you don't even have the original studio anymore, you know?
Who is Bungie? You know, you had some of those assholes that were kind of fucking things up. Those guys, you know, just like rats, they got whatever they wanted. Damn. And they just jumped the ship, right? So what do we got here? We got a husk.
Yeah, exactly.
The hantavirus?
Excuse me?
Yo, by the way.
Yeah.
Sony barely even cares about Japanese studios anymore. It's like, I don't know how they can even... Like, even the premise of them, you know, having a deep roster of Japanese studios is kind of laughable at this point, because they don't really care about them.
I mean, well, there definitely seem to be becoming a little bit more Japanese-centric, especially looking at the lead. You know, even Herman was kind of like reworked into like a marketing sort of weird position, not like the head of any. He's not like the head of the games division.
Yeah, so things could be shaking.
Things can definitely be shaking around. Like, and again, like they're looking. I'm sure PlayStation is looking how a lot of Japanese games are doing quite well, and then they have ask the right question. Why don't we have one of those? Oh, because that dope decided to close fucking Japan studio.
Well, I mean,
by the way, to quote a great man, you man, fuck Jim Ryan.
You know. That's ahead of his time.
He is responsible for the quote unquote empty box that PlayStation.
Excuse me.
And that was by a Sony executive that made that comment. So
yes,
they are very much aware that they don't have anything, and how much of money that they're actually paying out to other, you know, because of, you know, third party games. They want to be the ones making all the money instead of the other part of it, you know, the back end. Anyway.
And they only, I looked it up. Apparently, they only have two Japanese.
Fuck.
Sony does. Astrobot Studio, right?
Asobi, yep.
Asobi, yeah.
Which is supposedly made off of the skeleton of the old Japan studio.
Yeah.
And what's the other one?
They make a racing game.
Ah, oh, yes.
Yeah. Polyphony. Digital. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
It's only two.
Yeah, and as we mentioned, you know, the Thursday show, Polyphony is the only major Japanese studio making racing games now, you know? Yeah,
like, Namco's giving it up. Sega's giving it up.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy, man. All right, last question of the night, also from Illustrated Dio. This one's fun. If you could take a tour of any game studio, which would it be?
I'll answer first, Kojima Productions.
Ooh.
Especially that fancy new building that they have right now where you get off on like a blacked out floor, and then it has this whole crazy like entrance, like with like where the Luden statue is, and it's like a room of mirrors. It's pretty cool, at least from what I've seen. Yeah, definitely Kojima.
Nice. I've never seen it inside the studio, but this is my major one, and no one's going to be surprised by this one. Motherfucking Capcom. Give me one day at Capcom's headquarters, man. I'd be like a kid in a candy store. You know, all my favorites would be there. Just thinking about it, I would go nuts. If I could make a bucket list thing happen, I probably could make it happen being in the game industry. I would love to visit Japan, Capcom's Japanese studio, and just be there for a day, bro, taking it all in, looking at all that original art and shit, you know? That'd be awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go down the line, Tony, here. Go ahead, bro.
The original art or the DLSS 5, you know?
No, not that. We don't look at that. We don't look at that art, you know? I want the shit printed on paper, you know? But Carl, since you're talking, which studio would you like to visit, take a tour of?
Well, Manny brings up a good one with Kojima Studios, just so, you know, Kojima take a picture with a real celebrity.
You know?
My answer would be Valve.
Ooh.
Because I'm pretty sure they got Portal 3 somewhere there in one of those hard drives. I'm going to steal it. That's why I want to go.
That's funny. Brett, what about you? If you could tour one game studio, what would it be? Go ahead.
What? Me?
Yeah, you. You are Brett.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear. I was just saying, I love how Carlos is like, I'm not fucking waiting. I know you motherfuckers can count to three. I don't know. I don't know if I need to be here for this question because we all know it's from. So
that is true. That's but listen, I gave my obvious answer, so you give your obvious answer too.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, this could have been an email.
Yeah, that's funny. All right, Brian, what about you?
I actually have a question for Brett because my money was on either Bethesda or Larian.
Ooh.
I mean, I don't want to yell at people. So Bethesda's out and Larian. I mean, that's a good one. It is a good one, but like goddamn, I want to be in an elevator with Miyazaki for 5 minutes to be like, bro, like where does this come from? Like half the shit that comes out of his brain, like I can see bits and pieces, but motherfuckers pulled from like mythology and esotericism and motherfucking alchemy and the Green Lion and shit. Like, bro, like what kind of autism do you have? And I mean that in like the most respectful, like I kind of want some of that way, but like the amount of deep dive, weird ass knowledge that shows up in his games is just like what rabbit holes do you fall into, man? I want to know. Because he just has to be the weirdest fucking dude ever.
And you know what he'll tell you, Brett?
What's that?
No speak English.
Oh, man. That's funny. All right, Brian, go ahead.
I, too, am Tony here. I think Capcom would be the most fun studio. Having seen all those behind-the-scenes videos of Monster Hunter, where they're doing all the animations and whatnot, man. Just knowing that they might do something similar or even more so in other games. Yeah, I think that would definitely be the most fun just to see that.
Good stuff. What about you,
and
Rich?
They have a whole bunch of cabinets in the Capcom studios.
Oh man. Bro, playing Street Fighter with the Capcom guys? That would be crazy. Yeah. Go ahead, Rich. What's your answer?
I think Capcom is a great answer. But I have two answers for this question. First and foremost, one studio that I would like to visit, Ghost Story Games. So I can ask Ken Levine, where the hell is the Judas game at? Because I assume that studio has to be amazing. A great source of inspiration and ideas, so much so that it takes longer for the game to come out. So yeah, I would like to go to that studio. My other answer, much more recent, I would say Quarter Up. Because, again, they did a phenomenal job on Invincible Versus. I imagine that a lot of the people there are huge Invincible fans, so that would be kind of some fun conversations to have with the team and get an idea of what they're working on, because clearly they're going to be supporting this game for quite a while. But, yeah, for sure, definitely. I would like to check out those two studios.
Those are some great answers, for sure.
I do want to give honorable mentions to Hassan Studio, Blue, what was that? Blue something. That one, and also second runner up, Fat Anorexic Studio, whatever that one was called.
Oh shit! Throwback. Oh man, I love it. I love it. All right, man. Good stuff there, and we are done. So let's start wrapping up with some plugs. Rich, what's coming up on the Coalition this week?
Okay, yeah. First and foremost, shout out to Mr. Adam Vale, the TV Terminal. They are covering several shows. I actually have been covering a show called From with Adam. So definitely check that out if you're interested. Staying on the entertainment side, myself and Dana, we saw what I would say is the best horror movie of the year called Obsession. Ooh. We did a review for that movie. Oh, yeah, we did a review for that movie. I would encourage you to check out the review, but I would encourage you to see the movie before you check out the review because we spoiled some stuff in that review. But, yeah, the movie is really good. Now, getting back to the gaming side of things, there are a couple of things coming out in the next couple of weeks, I would say, and I may have some thoughts on some of these things because, of course, we're right around the corner to Summer Game Fest. So, yeah, definitely stay tuned to thecoalition.com. In the Coalition Gaming, because there's going to be quite a bit of things I'll be talking about there over the next couple of weeks.
All right, good stuff. By the way, because I did see, just going around Twitter today about that movie Obsession. So apparently it opened to $16 million. You're like, well, that doesn't sound like a lot. It only cost $750,000 to make. That's how you make your money. Make a small, but bro, less than $1 million should cost to make. And they made their money back, you know? Maybe Hollywood and Gaming could learn a lesson from there. Just saying. Manny, you got anything?
No, not really. Just some stuff coming. You might see some artwork posted on Wednesday or something.
Interesting.
It's not anything professional. Might be some fan art. nothing big right now, and a lot of stuff covered under a non-disclosure agreement. Stay tuned.
All right, good stuff. As for myself, I still can't say yet, but by the time you hear this episode, you probably see it. I am reviewing a pretty big game that's coming out this week. So let's just say, the fire rises, so stay tuned for that. And I'll give you my full review, on Thursday. Again, I would tell you what it is, but I'm going to have somebody come in and go, no, brother. So I got to chill. Can't do it. All right, let's start wrapping it up. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube, join the Discord. Shout out to the Discord gang, check us out on your favorite podcast app, and links to everything down below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a grand week, everybody.
And, of course, Brian Monjoma.
Be careful, Tony. The kiss from the rose might sting you.
Yes. Oh, man. Oh, that's good stuff, man. You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. All right, guys. We'll see you on Thursday. Later.
Peace.
Laters.